This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Springfest is heating up at Lowe's, and for a limited time, we have the extra big deals you need to impress guests. Get your outdoor space ready and save $50 on a select Kobalt 24-volt blower kit, now $79. Plus, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance 4-burner grill, now $199. It's springtime, and our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4/13. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Today on The Grave Talks, At Home with Spirits. Shiloh Bean grew up with the paranormal, having spent many years residing with her grandmother in a family home initially built in 1849. She would hear unexplained footsteps distracting her from her studies. This would eventually lead to witnessing small, dark figures watching her and her family from around corners. As time would pass, these entities would continue to make themselves known in different, sometimes very peculiar ways. Experiences that would eventually lead Shiloh into the world of paranormal investigation work and trying to understand for herself just who or what else lives amongst us.
I never exactly knew that it was paranormal because that's just how I grew up. And where it starts is that I was raised primarily with my grandmother in our old family home. And according to the documents that I could find, our old family home has been with our family since 1842. And it's been with our family the whole time up until this past year in 2019. And the house was old. It was very unique. Sometimes you would hear your name being called, but it was nobody living that called your name. I would say the most memorable experiences that I had is when I lived, or I'm sorry, when I had one of the back bedrooms as my bedroom, and there were a lot of us in the family. So every room that wasn't a common area was a bedroom. And this bedroom had the stairs, the second set of stairs that went upstairs. And I would be in there on my bed studying for these big exams. And all of a sudden, you would hear footsteps going up and down the stairs. Well, I would pay no attention. I had to study. I was a kid. I had to do well on these tests. Well, when you don't pay attention, it got louder and louder to the point where I would just have to look at the stairs and yell, "Hey, show yourself, start talking, do something, because I've got to study. So get it over with, or else be quiet." And finally, it would be quiet. But it was unique things like that, you know, that would happen growing up. And same thing with, of course, there were times I would live with my mom as well. Well, she had this unique knack for picking homes with paranormal activity. Everything from doors opening and closing to hearing people that weren't there, having yucky feelings in certain areas of the home. It was just always around. And I don't think, you know, it didn't necessarily click with me. that it was paranormal, probably until middle school. It was just part of our normal.
Mm-hmm. Did you assume that everyone else had these things happening in their homes? It was just kind of just there out there, and this was not anything odd?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. My friends that I had in childhood, a lot of them also had unique experiences, and we would swap stories, and it was just something that happened. And like I said, it was probably not until middle school, you know, early middle school, when it dawned on us that the adults wouldn't necessarily want to talk about these things, and it was somehow taboo or, you know, not normal, that really made us think, okay, so this is something different that's happening. This is outside of the normal. A lot of people don't like talking about this stuff, or they don't want to acknowledge it. Okay.
Are you able to pinpoint it all? Because it may be very difficult to do so, and I understand why. When this is the normal, when you have the walking up and down of the stairs, and I'm sure other things going on in the house, do you have? Can you pinpoint it all at a point in childhood, before you were even, you know, to the age of studying for exams and things, where you kind of went, huh, that's interesting? Or was it all just such kind of a blur because it was all just so common?
I think I'd have to say it was more of a blur because it was so common, per se. There was definitely a point at which things did escalate. And, you know, things were different. And, of course, it's the typical, you know, once you hit puberty, middle school age, things start ramping up. Mm-hmm. That absolutely happened. Especially in this one house that my mom had. And at that home, you would see this little spirit, you know, dark colored, kind of looked like a gnome or something. Peek its head around the corner, looking at you frequently. You would hear what sounded like the television being on or the radio being on at night. And it was so loud and kept us awake that we would frequently yell to our mom, who had a bedroom in the basement, you know, "Mom, turn it off. We're trying to sleep." And she'd yell back to us, "Nothing's on. The TV's not on. The radio's not on." I mean, different things like that, where it really escalated to say, hey, this is not typical. This is beyond our normal that we've experienced. Mm-hmm. This is definitely paranormal.
Would you say that the things that were happening in your mom's residence were more extreme or more pronounced than that of what was going on at your grandmother's house?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She had a knack for picking these houses.
That's interesting that you say that she had the knack for picking the houses. We hear about that quite often, where it seems a family or an individual, house to house they go, and every place they go, it seems to be haunted. And I want to talk about that because it's a very interesting way of looking at things. There's, of course, the possibility that they're drawn to a property that has spirits on it or in it. There's also, I think, the distinct possibility that that individual, one of two things, either they are just more sensitive than others and pick up on these things, and then those around them also pick up on these things, that others may move into that same house and say, "This isn't haunted, there's nothing happening here," or they're bringing them along with them as add-ons from place to place. They're just kind of carrying along from the last house, where maybe it's not necessarily every house is haunted, but maybe it's the individual or the family that is haunted.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with both.
Sure.
It honestly, looking back at all of those experiences, it truly is both.
Mm-hmm.
It's both a location as well as, you know, a family thing.
Yeah.
Because we're also Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do have deep senses of intuition. you know, my belief is that spirits know that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have experience with that, they come to you, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, for my mom, she's not really one of those that acknowledges any of that. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
So they come there for the family. And there's also some there that they're there because of the location. Mm-hmm. So I do firmly believe it's both.
I want to take a step back, and I also want to get back into your mom's house and dig into that deeper. But first, let's take a step back to when you were in your grandmother's house and you were hearing the steps or the people walking up and down the steps or the person or whatever it may be that was making those noises. When you had those experiences, was your grandmother also having experiences in the house as well?
No. Or shall I say, my mother and grandmother would always deny.
Okay.
And, you know, for the most part,
mm-hmm.
especially grandmother, she would always deny. Oh, it's an old house. It makes creaking noises. Well, let me tell you, when you live in a house, you know exactly what every single noise is.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the pipes, if it's the mines blasting, if it's, you know, just old wood creaking, you know what the noises are. You just know because you're used to them. You hear them all the time. When it's something unique and different, it's unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just an old house. So grandma would always deny, oh, it's an old house. Mom, for the most part, would deny as well. It wasn't until, like I said, when I was middle school age that she would start acknowledging, yeah, there's something.
Do you believe,
okay.
but before we get to the point of them kind of coming to some sort of a realization here or an acceptance, do you believe that they truly did not think anything was going on, or were they doing the, we think this is the best way to parent our children thing and calm them down by assuring them that there's nothing going on, essentially?
I would say that grandma did not believe.
Okay.
That anything was going on. But in the same respect, she would be the first one to pray to God and pray to our ancestors for help,
mm-hmm.
you know, with whatever it may be. I think mom was more of, oh, I'm just going to deny everything just to make it easier and not let anybody be scared by anything.
Yeah. Do you ever look at the possibility or wonder about the possibility of just your own sensitivity level where maybe, let's say grandma was in the bedroom with you when you were hearing those footsteps? I know she wasn't, but let's just say, you know, for example, she was. Do you think that there could have been the possibility where you yourself were hearing these things because of what you're able to pick up on? And these were clear as day to you, but she could have been standing right next to you and legitimately not sensing or hearing anything at all?
Oh, that's definitely a possibility. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, everybody does have a sense of intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that everybody has different capabilities as far as being able to, you know, to feel, to hear, to sense what's going on around them. So I do think that people inherently have differences.
Sure.
I also believe that if you listen to your intuition, that it will develop and become more developed over time. But if you block it out, you're just kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to see, sense, hear, feel those things that are around you. Absolutely.
Let's talk about where you said things kind of ramped up and it got to a point around middle school where there was the recognition from your mother, at least, of, okay, maybe you're what you're talking about. Maybe there's something to it. What happened there?
Well, it wasn't necessarily anything that was big. It was just things like, the TV's not on, the radio's not on, be quiet, go to bed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and ignore it, it'll go away kind of thing. Kind of became a little bit of a running joke in the family with, when we were in the living room at that house, watching TV or reading a book on the fireplace, that you would see that little spirit peek around the corner frequently. So we just started piping up and saying, "Did you see it?" And my mom would laugh and be like, "Well, little ghosty," or I don't even remember what she called them, "checking up on you. Just play it off." Okay.
What were you feeling when you would have these?
That's kind of how it came about.
When you would have these experiences and you would see this little figure, this little thing that you knew was not, you know, a pet, it wasn't a sibling, it wasn't anything that should be there, logically. What's going through your mind? Like, how are you feeling as you've grown older and you realize that these are not necessarily normal things? Yeah,
at first it was weird. Like, what in the world is that? I know I saw something. It was peeking at me. And of course you would always see it out of your peripheral vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would slip away as you go to directly look at it, because you can't, you know, believe that this is what you're seeing. So, you know, but the more that it happened, at first it was weird. Like, what in the world? Am I really seeing something?
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept happening. So at first it feels weird, a little bit scary, because you feel like you're being watched, because you are being watched. But then it becomes so commonplace that it's just like, whatever. You didn't feel anything negative or yucky or bad from it. It was just kind of weird feeling watched. And once you got over that, then it was like, well, whatever. Okay, he's looking at us again.
What did you think it was? I mean, obviously, when things like this happen, you're trying to find answers. You're trying to make sense of what is going on. So in your mind, who do you think it is? I mean, when it's small like that, the assumption quite often is a child spirit. It's interesting that you describe it as, you know, almost like a little gnome, as you said earlier. What led you to go down that sort of a path versus this is a child spirit?
You listen to your intuition partly, and it was partly how the shadow itself was kind of shaped. It was short, probably about 2.5-3 feet, stocky. It felt like a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's the most like an elf, like a gnome, like a,
sure,
you know, trolley kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you can only go based on intuition and what it feels like. And I was talking with a very talented medium friend of mine and describing that experience. And she was the one that confirmed, yes, in fact, it was, you know, what would be considered possibly a gnome, you know, some sort of other kind of being. Like, wow, that's kind of confirmation on what I thought I saw so many times.
Now,
so that's, you know, the only confirmation really that I have there.
Now, obviously, I want to understand what the definition of that you have for that term gnome, you know, because, you know, I think of garden gnomes when I think of that. And we have certainly heard of stories like this. This is not my first time having a conversation with someone or hearing a story where someone reports this sort of a phenomena happening. It's just always, I'm very intrigued by this concept as to, what exactly is it? Is it something that is a ghost? Is it a spirit of something? Is it something that was living? How do you define what this is? Because I'm sure you're not, you know, defining it as garden gnome. So what, you know, what exactly, where do you think it, what is it, what's its origins exactly, in your opinion?
I don't know, and I would like to know, but I think it's one of those ever elusive things. You know, my best understanding, or the only way I can try to wrap my head around it, is an interdimensional being popping in and out, mm-hmm. doing its thing. You know, is it only spirit? Is it physical and spirit? I don't know. You know, all I try to define it as is, well, it must be some interdimensional thing, and I don't know. It doesn't seem to cause too much mischief, although there was this one incident.
And that's what I want to get to. I want to get
there was
go down
one
that road.
Time.
of what
you're going to wanna to hear that one time.
Yeah, so it happens. But yeah, what happened beyond you realizing it's there? What were some of the other experiences with it?
Well, at the same home. So my mom and my friend's mom were best friends. So we became best friends by default over the years. And our parents were going out for the night. And I was to babysit my younger sisters, and my friend was staying over. And so they went to town, and they went out for the night. And it was nighttime, and my sisters were sleeping in their bedroom. And to understand the story, you have to understand the layout of the house. Mm-hmm. So we had a small L-shaped galley-style kitchen. And the hallway to the bedrooms and the basement were right there perpendicular to that. The door to the basement is right there at the L-shaped kitchen. It's just right there. My bedroom at the time was down in the basement. So after my sisters were asleep, my friend and I were in the basement. And we were playing around with something that we really didn't understand. We were playing with the Ouija board, and we didn't know that there were proper ways to open it and close it and prayers and protection. We didn't understand any of that. So we were playing with the Ouija board, and, you know, we heard our parents come home. We heard the door open and close, and we heard them walking around upstairs, and we're waiting for them to yell down and say, hey, we're home. Everything okay? Well, we didn't hear anything. They didn't open the door to yell down to us. And that was kind of weird that, you know, too much time had passed and they didn't say anything. So we went upstairs. They weren't in the living room. They weren't in the kitchen. They weren't. So then we went to every single bedroom upstairs. My sisters were sleeping. We checked every room. Now we're checking the bathrooms. We're checking the patio. We're checking outside. Our parents were not home, but we clearly heard that door open and close, and they were walking around, but nobody was there. So we're standing, you know, in the hallway in front of the basement door down to my bedroom, and all of a sudden, every door on every cabinet swung wide open, and the faucet on, you know, the kitchen faucet flung all the way up and water comes gushing out. We screamed like little sissy girls, ran down those basement stairs as fast as we could. We were, practically falling down the stairs. And we just sat down there. And I'll tell you, I pulled out that Bible as quick as I could and started reading Bible verses out of there and praying to God and everything else. And it took us probably a good 10 to 15 minutes to calm ourselves down before we could go upstairs. And of course, all the cabinets are still wide open. The water is still gushing out of the faucet. And so we turned all that off and went and checked in every single bedroom. My sisters were still sleeping and everything was okay. And, you know, our silly little brains, we thought, well, hey, we're going to take a butter knife and jab it into the door frame so that we can't be fooled by a door opening and closing again. So that's what we did. And then we went back downstairs into the basement to my bedroom. And about an hour later, we were scared because we heard this loud knocking on the front door. And so we ran upstairs and realized that, oh, oops, we left a butter knife in the door. Our parents can't get in. So we had to let them in and tell them what happened. And of course, my mom said, well, you were probably messing with something you shouldn't have done. So the little ghost let you know it wasn't okay. So we just laughed. Okay. But we didn't tell them what we were doing. But so that was the one time that I was like, oof.
Yeah. So she's at this point, you know, kind of sarcastically, but kind of underlying serious, you probably were messing with something you shouldn't have been doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do
100%, exactly.
Do you think that what had caused all of that, the opening of the cabinets and everything else that was going on in that experience, was related to the gnome-like creature or person type thing that you had been seeing? Or do you think there was something else now that had been entering the house that was influencing these things?
I would put it off on, the gnome creature. And the reason I would say that is because the paranormal activity that was occurring in the home did not change after that point. There was nothing unique or different from what we typically experienced. So I would put that off on him.
How did the rest of growing up play out in that house with experiences as you continued to live there?
After, some of those weird experiences and whatnot, I went back to live with Grandma. It was a whole lot quieter at that house.
Sure.
And at that house, it was only my ancestors there. So, there was no fear except for that other bedroom.
Yeah.
There was no fear there. It was just light, easy, paranormal stuff. Not a whole lot.
Do you feel like the thing that was at your mom's house was something that kind of came with the house? It wasn't something that came with your mom or came with you. It was just kind of something that was there and that picked up on your sensitivity and then was able to make itself be known because it knew that you could sense and see it.
I think that thing follows my mom.
Okay.
I really do. Because she had lived at other places and I had asked her, hey, you ever see that little spirit peek around the corner?
Mm-hmm.
She said, yeah, from time to time. Oh, okay. So I think it follows her.
More of an attachment to your mom. Let's talk about the house, the house in your grandma's house that was the 1849 built. Your whole family has been there generation after generation. Tell me about the spirits that, this is kind of a retrospectively looking at it question, because maybe at the time you didn't have these answers, but now when you look back on this, do you have any sort of identification, if you will, or suspicion of who or what or why things went on at your grandma's house, albeit more calm than what was happening at your mom's house?
For me, I don't feel like it was super active. It was more comforting.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it was definitely our ancestors and, Grandma Rose, and you had, Grandpa Paul. And definitely, it's a great-great-grandma, Emma. They were all there. I mean, there was no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
They were there, and their pictures were there. And sometimes, I'd talk to the pictures and talk to them about how stuff's going. And whenever we needed help finding something, we would always ask for their help, and sure enough, you'd find what you were looking for, and, things would work out. So it was more of a comforting thing.
It was basically intergenerational family helping family, even if some of those family members you maybe had never met because they had passed on so many years prior.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've never met any of them, but they were very helpful.
That's very interesting. You said that the house was in your family up until just this last year. Do you believe that when the house went out of your family, that those spirits still reside there? Or do they end up following and moving on to continue to go with other family members wherever they may be?
Well, when my grandmother passed away quite a few years ago, the house was left to one of my uncles. And, unfortunately, he was an irresponsible
mm-hmm.
uncle with no real means to fix it up. And I had offered, him a little bit of money to buy it because it was a major disrepair.
Sure.
And he had delusions of grandeur that he was going to fix it up. And I'm like, please, come on. Let's not lose this out of our family. It has been here for so many generations.
Mm-hmm.
Please. And unfortunately, he was not a responsible person. And I knew that the day would come where the house would be taken for back taxes. But the nice thing is that during these past years, from the time Grandma died till last year, you know, I'll go home once a year. And when I went home, you know, I would ask them to go visit the family home. And I would. I would go there. I'd take my ghost hunting equipment as well and, you know, walk through the house. And I would talk to them like, you know, I normally would. And the hard part for me was to, you know, to talk with them and let them know, hey, you know, I'm really sorry that the house has been in the family for many years. It now belongs to this uncle. I don't see him being able to fix it up. And, you know, thanks for being here for us all these years. I think it's best if, you know, you can find it in your heart to go ahead and leave here. You know, go ahead, go home, go to heaven. But I think you need to go ahead and leave because this is not going to be around for much longer. And I did that year after year to try to encourage them to move on. And let's see, what was it? Last year was the last time that I visited the family home. And, you know, I could tell that they were there, but I think they came there for me because I was there. Because as the years went by, I felt them less and less and got less and less potential paranormal activity on the audio recorders and whatnot. So I do think that they listened to what I had to say. I also think the last time that I went there, that they came there specifically, you know, to see me. And what's interesting is that, like I said, the house, for the most part, was pretty quiet. There wasn't a lot that went on that was truly unique or different. But this last time that I visited there, you know, I took selfies in front of the house and took pictures of the house on the outside. And I'm pretty sure I caught a couple of spirits in some of those pictures. And that was right when I got there. So I think that was a nice, you know, last time of saying, hey, I'm here. I see you. I acknowledge you.
Sure.
But I honestly believe they're gone. And then the house was tore down end of last year. So I asked my cousin that still lives in the area to drive by and take a picture of the lot. And he did that. And I don't feel them there. I truly and honestly believe that they've accepted it and they've moved on.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Shiloh Bean. In part two, we'll ask Shiloh if she's ever visited the former family property since it's moved into other hands to sense if any spirits of the family still reside there. How did Shiloh get into paranormal investigation work as an adult? What happened to Shiloh and her team at the remnants of an old battlefield train depot in Mississippi? What was Shiloh's opinion of investigation equipment early on when starting to investigate the paranormal? And with all of the advances in paranormal investigation work and equipment and evidence, are we any closer to convincing an unbeliever that the paranormal and ghosts are real? All of that and more in part two of our conversation. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our program. Sign up to be one at patreon.com/thegravetalks or go to thegravetalks.com and click become a Gravekeeper. For $5 a month, you get access to all of our bonus materials. Every single extra episode that we've ever created, part one and part two, and advanced episode to the program months before they're released to the public. That's how we support our program and keep it on the air. Without your support, we would not exist. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store,
at a funeral,
in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.